You're listening to Dare Daily, episode 7. Welcome to Dare Daily. I'm your host, Sylvia Jagner. The Dare Daily podcast is designed to inspire, motivate, and support you to create in life, work, and relationships whatever you crave for. Hello and welcome to today's podcast interview with Adina Kroll. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm beyond excited to share with you the topic, the art of failing and succeeding. Authentic, raw, and real. I hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome to our Dare Daily podcast. I am beyond excited to have here today Adina. For all those of you who don't know Adina, short introduction. Adina is an international business coach, author, and speaker for creative female entrepreneurs who want to learn how to get out of their own way and make their business their bitch. Woo! Thank you so much for being here. before we dive in, the first question I would like to ask you, what is it what you do dare daily?
What I dare daily? That's a great question. I would like to always try and get a little bit out of my comfort zone every day. And may that be by speaking to someone I really inspire because, you know, they're great people and I go out there, or if it's just the fact of doing something I haven't done before. So recently I have created a group coaching program. I've never done anything like this before. And from one day to another, I'm just like, guys, I'm doing a group coaching program. Who's in? And I was shitting myself.
Very good. So just getting out every single day, a little bit out of your comfort zone, sounds amazing and challenging at the same time. Thank you so much for sharing. And yeah, could you just share with us how did it happen that you ended up today where you are?
So that's a bit of a story. Have a cup of tea. I'll start from the beginning. So I remember I grew up in the arse end of nowhere in Germany. So I always like saying at the top right corner of Germany, because that's literally where I come from. Mm-hmm. In a little town called Torgelow. And there wasn't really anything there. And I knew from a very young age that I wouldn't stay in Germany. So my parents told me that since I was 4 or 5 years old, for some reason, I've always said, I'm going to move away to a different country. And then come the age of 19, I actually did. But I never knew what I wanted to do in between. So when we finished, while I was in school, I didn't really care that much because, as far as I was concerned, as a teenager, I still had lots of years to live until I had to get into adulthood.
You know, and enjoy your life.
And so I didn't really have to think about it. And so I don't know, I tried a few things. I was in a band, I did music, I've got a vocal degree. I don't know, I played chess for a while. I've won a bronze medal, right? As you do.
Yeah, what else would you do?
And I've done a lot of things, but none of them really tickled me. And then come the end of college, obviously, we had to sort of decide what we wanted to do with ourselves. And everyone around me had already decided where they're going to go to uni, what apprenticeships they're going to be doing. And I sat there sort of semi-pressured and semi-meh to myself, because at the end of the day, I just didn't know what I wanted to do, but I also didn't want to make a decision back then because mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I don't want to have to choose what I'm going to be doing for the next 50 years of my life, potentially. Mm-hmm. And so I applied for university spots to keep my parents happy because naturally we had quite a few arguments, you know, mm-hmm. because what in Germany we obviously call Abitur, and I was a pretty average student. I wasn't good. You know, I was just bang on average. And I applied for a medical degree. Because I thought Grey's Anatomy looked good.
Makes totally sense, yeah. Right.
Obviously, I didn't get in. And it then, I've applied for a few places and I applied for a few different things, but then it became sort of the time where it was October time and everyone already then went to uni, had their apprenticeship starting, and I sat upstairs and I'm like, right, so by this time I am not going to get to study anything or learn anything or whatever. And so I sat in my room and I thought, either I am going to have to find a job here for a year until I can try again, or I'll go abroad and I'll do a gap year. And then I had this amazing idea to run downstairs and tell my mum, Mum, I know exactly what it is what I'm going to do. And she was just like, yes, what is it? And I'm like, I'm going to Costa Rica to improve my Spanish. And the look on her face, like blank stare, she got up the door and she screamed, no, you're not. I just smashed the door. Because obviously, you know, little chicken just graduated from college and all of a sudden she wants to go to the other end of the world to learn Spanish in a country that she's never been to. Like, I've not really traveled before when I was in Germany because we just didn't have the money. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I said, I want to go to Costa Rica, and she's, you know, she just wasn't happy with this. And so 3 days there was a little bit of silence between us. And so I tried after like the fourth day, I'm like, okay, I'm going to try a little bit gentler now. And so I went downstairs and I'm like, Mom, look, I'm sorry, but I don't think I can stay here. I don't want to just sit here and work for the next year, because I've been working since I was 16. It's not like I haven't earned money before. I want to do something that actually helps me grow. And she then said, a little bit calmer this time, she says, okay, but it's going to be UK, Ireland or nothing. And I'm like, okay, well, if it's these two choices. So I looked at the map and I knew that I had one friend in Britain, one school friend who moved over when she was 16. And I'm like, okay, I'll go to Britain because I've got one person I know in the entire country. So why don't I go over? But obviously I didn't know where she lived, so I didn't know how far away we'd be from each other. So on the 1st of November 2008, so literally within a week, it was then decided that I'm going to go to Britain and I'm going to be an au pair for a year. And like two weeks about, sort of, it was already sort of the first week in October. So it took me about 2 weeks to find a family, book the tickets. On bang on 1st of November 2008, I was on that plane to Gatwick and I was picked up by a family I have never seen before.
The decision made and within 2 weeks, plan executed.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Bear in mind that I come from a long lineage of warriors, not the fighting kind, the have you got enough raincoats kind.
Yeah, this is what you need in UK sometimes.
A thick raincoat, a medium one. So anyway, so I was at this airport and I did the family, and I'm just going to fast forward a little bit. So after I did this year with the host family, I still didn't know what I wanted to do. I obviously improved my English by that time by quite a lot. And I tried to apply for university again, this time via the armed forces in Germany, because turns out I wouldn't have gotten a student loan and this would have helped me. Didn't get in, of course. And so I then thought, well, great. Now what? Because obviously at some point I was still under this pressure where my parents would be like, everyone else around you has already had 1 year of uni and here you go, you've done nothing kind of thing. And I'm like, I know, but I don't know what I want to do. And so I just decided, okay, I'm going to stay in the UK for a little while. I'm going to work a little bit longer, see what comes up and just see how it goes. So my very first job, I handed out my CVs, which was pretty empty at that point, to every shop in the high street. And I started working as a waitress. And after about a year and a half of doing 15-hour shifts, I was looking for something else, and I got approached by someone who just created a business in the UK. They moved over from San Francisco, and they said, "Hey, Adina, your English is good. How would you like to work in an office?" And obviously me thinking, ding, 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 salary, weekends off. Yes, I am in. I thought to myself, I've made it now. Now I can climb up the corporate ladder. This is great. I'm telling my parents. My parents were like, "Great, you finally got a real job." Sales executive. And there I was in this office, and it became incredibly apparent that that's not my jam. About a year and a half in, that company went into liquidation. So on Christmas 2013, they had to let all of us go. Mm-hmm. And I thought, fuck, this is not good. Because finding a job over Christmas, you know, I still have rent to pay. There's New Year coming up. There's travel coming up. I'm like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I was in a pretty bad shape. But by that point, someone had handed me a book that turns out would have changed my life forever.
What book was that?
The 4-Hour Workweek from Tim Ferriss.
Ah!
I didn't know it at the time. So someone at work handed me this book just a few months before the company went into liquidation. And I read this book. I devoured this book like in days. Because in the beginning I thought, yeah, 4-hour work week. I wasn't even thinking about working for myself back then. It didn't even occur to me that I could do that. Mm-hmm. And I read this book, and he was in the same position as I was. He worked in IT sales. He worked for a different company back then, but from a parallel company that I worked in back then. And I'm like, oh my God, he's like me. And now he's earning lots of money and he's living the dream. I want myself some of that. And so I licked blood for the first time. I tasted blood and I'm like, I want what he has. And so I looked into building businesses. Many of them. And so in my quest to become self-employed, I used the time when I became unemployed, when the company went into liquidation. I bought a 5K course that taught me how to do video game design. Didn't finish it because I lost interest, but also the course wasn't particularly good in itself, or at least not for me. I didn't learn that much because the style wasn't for me. It was an online course, and I think I preferred human interaction. Mm-hmm. And then I tried different things. So then I thought, okay, well, I'm still unemployed. I'm going to need to find a way to make money. So then I was looking into cleaning people's houses because I thought, hey, you know, I like being clean. Why don't I clean people's houses and get paid for it? I tried that for a bit, realized didn't like that either. I tried looking at the obvious things. I thought, well, hey, I'm German. I speak English. Why don't I translate for people? Right? Why don't I translate for people? So I did that. Nobody would have me as a translator because I had absolutely no degree in it. And I thought, okay, fine. Why don't I try myself as a copywriter then instead? So I put myself up on all of these sites like freelancer.com and Upwork and all of these pages. And I put myself up as a freelancer. And then just fast forward. So I tried being a VA. I've sold stuff for people online on eBay for a little commission fee. I have created a lunch menu for people in corporate offices because I thought they're not eating healthily enough. And I thought, hey, I like cooking. Why don't I try that? You know, and deliver the meals to them if they pre-order them. I have made my own cosmetics. I've made a course and learned how to make creams and cosmetics. And I sold a few of these as well. And chances are, you know, whatever it is that you name, I've probably tried it. I have tried so many businesses under the sun, and all of them failed because A, they didn't make enough money, or I didn't enjoy any of them. And at some point I sat at home and I became incredibly frustrated because I'm like, well, I don't like working in the corporate office because I don't enjoy sitting in a cubicle. And by that time I've already had a few more jobs in corporate and in big corporate offices, American-owned corporate offices. And I just didn't enjoy the mentality that came with it. The whole, you have to work overtime for the sake of looking ambitious, you only want to stand a chance to be promoted, then we're going to need to see you work despite me over delivering on my quota pretty much every quarter, less work. And it's like, I didn't agree with it. And then a 3-hour commute every day. And it's just like, I lost so much time and I didn't agree with it. And so I thought, I need to do something for myself. And I've tried all of these things and none of them worked. I didn't like any of them. And everyone else around me would be like, Adina, don't you think it's time to get a real job? You know, don't you think it's time to be realistic? And I'm like, and I'm sitting there thinking, I know I need to be realistic. Obviously, these things haven't worked, but I'm like, I don't like the status quo either. So there must be something there I can do. And just as I was about to give up, something in me sort of said, no, just watch some more videos, see if you can get some inspiration somewhere. So I was watching like your usual, your Gary V's, your Richard Branson's, your Marie Folio's. And as I was watching Marie Folio, I've never heard of this woman before, this beautiful, beautiful woman sits there saying, well, I come from nothing and now I've built a coaching business. And I'm like, coaching business? So I looked into this. I'm like, what is coaching? So I looked into this and I'm like, that's a job. I can make this a job. I've been doing this my entire life and I didn't know this. So I've been able to help other people see their brilliance, motivate them and see what they're good at and then help them get to where they want to be the entire time. And it hasn't even occurred to me that this could be, that this is my job, the thing that I have been searching for, because I knew I wanted to help people, but I never knew what that looked like. Mm. And to me, what that looked like initially was always become a policewoman, become a doctor. I don't know, do something that helps people, but also earns money. Cause I grew up that way. You know, you have to become something that earns a lot of money, but that never agreed with me because I'm just like, well, money isn't everything. I see a lot of people who have a lot of money, but they're never home and therefore they can't spend the money. And then I found coaching. And so that's basically how the story started. And I told you, it's a long story.
And so what would you say to all the listeners after all the trial and error? What was the thing what you would everyone recommend definitely in order just to make it either more efficient or better? And what were your most learnings you would like to share with the listeners?
So one of the things that I would say is most important is perseverance. If you, and trust your gut. So I very much work on gut feeling because every time I tried something and every time someone suggested something to me and it didn't feel right, but I couldn't verbalize why it didn't feel right. It just didn't. Like the thought of becoming a doctor or the thought of becoming a policewoman or the thought of working in an office all day, I couldn't verbalize to you why I didn't like the idea of it. Just the thought of sitting on my deathbed thinking, I wish I'd done something else except this, was enough for me to say, I just don't want to do it. Stop making me do it. And so perseverance in finding out what it is that you like doing and not stop trying until you found it, because it's really a trial and error process. As far as I'm concerned, because we have the internet these days, I think it's almost death by choice.
Yeah.
Right? It's almost death by choice. And I think that that happened to me. I had so much choice of what I could become when I grow up that my mind was just like, well, why do I have to choose one thing? All of these things are kind of cool. Can I be an astronaut who is an actress and who cooks for people? And by the way, also does animal welfare and maybe for a living.
Now you've tried so many things and now you are self-employed. You are your own boss. How would you say, how do you structure your days in order to have the 4 hours week? I don't know. Do you have the 4 hours week right now? I mean, this sounds still really crazy to me, but how do you structure, you know, in order to really manage yourself throughout the day?
So I don't have a 4-hour work week, but if I'm very honest, I don't want to because I actually really enjoy what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love what I do. What I do tend to do is I have about 3 days off a week.
That's beautiful.
It is absolutely lovely. So sometimes I take off a Monday, or sometimes depending on which day it is that I want to take. I don't tend to fix that day because I like to have a day where I just wake up in the morning and I'm like, okay, so today is just me. And that can be any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if I haven't scheduled anything or whatever. So it's that kind of freedom. So the whole reason for me to build a business was to create a kind of freedom that I can visit my family when I want to travel. So for instance, in my last job, I wasn't allowed to go home for Christmas because it was the year end and we needed to obviously sell as much as we can for year end. So I haven't actually been home for Christmas in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And this year's going to be the first one. And I just wanted to have that freedom. So what I then do every day is I wake up, I have about half an hour breakfast. I always make sure I have breakfast. I have my cup of coffee and then I meditate for about 15 to 20 minutes in the morning. Then I might pull some cards for some positive affirmations just to get my day started. And then I do about 10-minute journaling. And after that, I'll see what needs doing for the day. And that takes a lot of people smile when they hear that, but it takes about 2 hours.
Yeah, when I heard this the first time, so Adina and myself, we know each other from before, I was just laughing at 2 hours morning routine sounds. But I mean, whatever is right for you, you know. I know a lot of people, no matter if they're in corporates or when they work for themselves, that they are really having their fixed routine every single morning. You might have to get up earlier when you have meetings or whatever. But yeah, to start the day in the right way for you personally is one of the most powerful things. And now when you are your own boss and you have the flexibility, and actually when I've got you right after all the trial and error, what is it what you think just keeps people away from creating the freedom? And maybe some people don't want to have the freedom, just maybe it's something just to feel great and to be their best self on a daily basis. What do you think is holding people back?
Definitely fear of the unknown. So mm-hmm. when I and I can apply this to myself or the people I know or the people that I work with, a lot of the time, especially when we talk about people who are in a corporate business or are currently mm-hmm. working for someone but they don't feel fulfilled, they have everything, like they can have their Netflix, they can have their Amazon Prime, they have their dinners out, like they have all of these things and they technically want for nothing. Yes, sure, there could be more, there can always be more, but they're somehow not happy. But you know, it's okay right now. And I feel that that's a really dangerous situation to be in, because you're okay, but really you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this fear that if you stray from this path, even if it means to become a better person or to feel more fulfilled, to be more happy, and because these words are so fluffy and very often we haven't defined what happy, success, and all of these things mean to us, it's a danger, because if we sacrifice this fairly unfulfilling life, but still steady and safe, that gives us money, that allows us to watch Netflix, that allows us to have our weekends, etc., for something that we have no tangible proof of,
mm-hmm.
then we're just like, well, I may as well stay here. And that's what I see so many times. It's the fear of, if I take this step, what if I can't get back here?
Mm-hmm. And what would you recommend someone who is right now in a situation, no matter if self-employed or whatever, just feels, okay, this is just not the right thing for me. So what, and obviously I think that it's very natural to have kind of fear within ourselves when you go into a direction which is unknown. And this is most likely whenever you leave your comfort zone or do something else what you've done before. In order to change a situation, you have to do that. You have to do something different than yesterday when you want to change the situation. So what is it what you would recommend someone just to take the first step? And because I believe that the first step is most of the time the hardest one, just to really go beyond the edge.
Definitely. I think the first step is always the hardest. I think starting small. So rather than looking at the big picture and saying, well, ideally I'd like to quit my job tomorrow and, you know, earn lots and lots of money. That's a big, massive goal. And that looks super scary because it's just, it's nondescript, it's non-specific. And you're just like, well, how am I going to even get there? And you're going to think, no, I'm not even going to try because what's the point?
Yeah.
So having small bite-sized steps that you can take. So start with researching or start with reading a book on the subject that you would like to go into, or start looking into what it is that you need to do in order to become that person. So for some jobs, for instance, if you wanted to become self-employed, maybe you need to have a certificate or something. So look into what it is that you need. And a lot of the times, all of the other things will unravel as you go along, because you'll meet people who have done this before and then you'll speak to them, or you're just like, oh my God, it's not actually as hard as I thought it would be. And it wasn't for me. So, I mean, I moved to the UK and I wasn't worried and I didn't even think twice about what would happen. I'm just like, I'm just going to stay here.
Like 1 year up here and 8 years later. No, wait a second. 10 years later, you're still there.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's nearly 10 years. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it happens. It happens to so many people I know from Ireland, by the way. So I was working and living abroad in Ireland as well. And it was the same thing. So yeah, let's just summarize up whatever they wanted to do. For the first step is really maybe just first get inspired and see what it actually might be for the next step and see what people have. And like you said, you've seen suddenly a Marie Folio, and this was just the first click and the first sparkle to grab on and move on. Read about all the things and also see if you can just talk with people who might be there where you think you would like to be.
Yeah, just really visualize and feel into a potential future that you might like. Because, I mean, our minds are so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can, the things that we can imagine, and this is one of my favorite examples, is the monster under the bed.
I love that.
It's you're laughing, but as kids, we can imagine that there is a monster under the bed. We can be afraid of something that isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Yet somehow we're not turning this around with something positive. Well, if we can be afraid of something that isn't there, why aren't we gonna excite ourselves about something that isn't there yet?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, let our bodies react differently and feel into a future and really feel it. If you don't like it, you can change it later. That's absolutely fine. But visualize it and then work backwards. That's always worked. Visually paint the future that you would like to have in the next year, two, or whatever, and then work backwards and see what steps you would have taken.
Mm-hmm. And you are now helping ladies in your group coaching. Can you just share with us shortly in a nutshell, if someone is just right now looking into change something, what are you doing with the ladies there?
So the group coaching is like a 5-week program. It's like sort of, it's a crash course of sorts for anyone who has an idea of a business, but they don't know where to take it or they don't know how to take it somewhere. And so basically I want to help take the fear out of the whole process of, you know, building a foundation, because So many ladies that I see starting a business, everything fails on the foundation. Like they haven't thought about how much money they actually want to make. They haven't thought about where they want to take their business. They haven't thought about clients, etc. And there's so much foundation and so much grit work that needs to be done beforehand that this is what I take them through. And so I help them take the fear out of the process of building a business and showing them, hey, it's okay if you screw up, it's fine. So I share a lot of my own feelings as well and how I felt when I did my first calls, the things that I screwed up with as well, because I feel that we very often, when we do courses and programs, people don't share enough of what went wrong. to almost humanize it again. And I like to bring it back to this level and say, like, look, I am by no means some person who's got it right the very first time. In fact, it took me a long time to get it right. I had to fail a lot to find out what it is that worked for me personally. And so I kind of share it this way, and it seems to work really well. I mean, one of the ladies has, after the first call, already had such a mindset shift that she suddenly then signed on 3 new clients. And I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. And she said, this is crazy. Like, I just had a little shift and suddenly it clicked and it made sense. How is this possible? Why didn't I know this before? I'm like, right?
Yeah. Well, how can I say it? When amazing women come together, we can change the world.
And then amazing.
Sounds really, really great to me. I will share the link for another podcast so everyone can just check it out, contact you if they have any kind of questions. And yeah, thank you so much for being my guest, for sharing all your gems with us. And I think the biggest message out of this here, just, you know, try, fail, and move on.
It's okay to fail. It doesn't matter what everyone else thinks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
That was amazing. Such an honor to have this powerhouse here with us. I would love to hear from you your number one takeaway from this podcast below the podcast post on Instagram at sylvia.jugler. Can't wait to hear from you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Wish you a great time.